I trusted Christ as Savior and His pardon sought. There's a new song in my heart since the Savior set me free.
There's a new song in my heart, 'tis a heavenly harmony.
All my sins are washed away in the blood of Calvary. Oh, what peace and joy nothing can destroy. There's a new song in my heart. Someday I will go to heaven where the angels sing, and I'll join their happy chorus praising Christ the King. There's a new song in my heart since the Savior set me free.
There's a new song in my heart, 'tis a heavenly harmony. All my sins are washed away in the blood of Calvary. And joy nothing can destroy. There's a new song in my heart.
Tonight's message is entitled Real Freedom. And I want to read scripture to you from John, the 8th chapter, reading verses 32 through 36. John chapter 8, reading verses 32 through 36. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. This coming Friday will be celebrated as Independence Day in the United States, rightly celebrated as the nation's birthday. Now, I like to consider myself a patriotic Christian. I plan to involve myself to the full in this year of special celebration for the 200th birthday of the United States. Now I know to many people all of this is a little outdated and a little outmoded. And for my money, that's one of the problems we have in this nation today, is there are not more people who feel stronger about the value of the American way of life. Now, to say we have no problems would be absurd, and we'll be mentioning some of these problems in this message tonight. But I tell you, I'm glad for that Independence Day, July the 4th, 1776, 200 years ago, when men and women had enough courage to stand up for what they believed in and struck a blow for freedom that we continue to enjoy even to this day today. We do not altogether understand, I think, how important our nation is to us. Just a year ago, this coming week, we celebrated the 4th of July, Connie and I, as we never have before. For we celebrated the 4th of July in London, England. Now, let me explain to you a little bit. The 4th of July is not the biggest holiday they have in England.
They're not too thrilled necessarily to remember this nation's birthday. And we were there and doing some touring on that day and realizing it was the 4th of July, the birthday of our nation, the time for celebration. And here we were in a foreign land, people speaking a foreign language. You say, well, I thought we spoke English. Yes, well, we don't speak it like they speak it. We thought on many occasions we were hearing a foreign language because we really couldn't understand hardly what some of the people were saying to us. And to be sure, they couldn't understand what we were trying to say to them either. But we were walking that day, and all of a sudden, here in the midst of all of this that was unfamiliar to us, we happened to walk by the embassy of the United States of America. And there on the 4th of July, the stars and stripes were waving proudly in the breeze. And I tell you, there was a reaction in my own heart that day as I saw the flag of my country, recognized that it was here, recognized all that it has meant down through the years, recognized the fact that the very country we were in that day would perhaps been under some type of tyranny had it not been for the intervention of this nation in the Second World War. Oh, yes, I'm proud to be an American, and I'm proud to be a part of this coming bicentennial year of celebration. But in order to be fair and to be honest, I have to admit to you tonight, the United States is not the first nation to strive for freedom and even to obtain a measure of it. We like to think we're the only ones who have ever been free, but in truth, there are other nations who have tried to strive for freedom. The very country I speak of, England, back in 1215, made a noble start towards freedom for its people. When old King John signed into law the Magna Carta, or the Great Charter, that enunciated such important principles of freedom as taxation through representation. Things like the fact that the punishment should fit the crime, and the principle of due process of law. But even this proclamation of freedom was not the first. Pride of citizenship, love of country, and the free rights of citizenship were clearly enunciated by the Apostle Paul, who was obviously proud of his Roman citizenship and very aware of the rights guaranteed by that citizenship. You remember on one occasion, perhaps, a Roman colonel engaged Paul in conversation and told Paul that he had had to pay a high price for his citizenship. Whereupon Paul replied, "Ah, but I was born a citizen of Rome." Roman citizens enjoyed a great measure of freedom under the empire rule. And as we trace the course of history, we find that man has always, in some measure, sought to be free, to be independent of political restraint. But the greatest statement concerning freedom was not spoken by Nathan Hale or Benjamin Franklin or King John or even the Apostle Paul. It was proclaimed by Jesus Christ when he said in the words of our text tonight, "If the Son," meaning Jesus Christ, "if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Now I ask you tonight, what did Jesus mean by this statement? Simply this: it takes far more than political freedom to make a man truly free. Man needs more than political freedom. He needs spiritual freedom, freedom from the bondage of sin. Now, you may be living in the world's freest country this night. You may have the right to free assembly. You may have the right to vote. You may have the right to own property. You may have the right to celebrate your rights on the 4th of July. But unless Jesus Christ has set you free indeed, you're still living in bondage. It's kind of a paradox, isn't it, to think that we could be living in the United States of America, celebrating our political independence, and still be in spiritual prison. Now, I would tell you, your spiritual imprisonment is far worse than any political imprisonment could hope to be. Or even though you may not even be aware of the fact that you are in prison, if the Son Jesus has not set you free tonight, then, my friend, you still are living in the prison house of sin. We've heard Charlie Plum, the ex-prisoner of war from Vietnam, here in our church and on our campus on more than one occasion. And we've heard how he lost his freedom, how he was made a prisoner of war for years. lost his political freedom. But because there had been a time in his life when Jesus Christ had set him free, nothing they could do to him could rob him of his spiritual freedom in Jesus Christ. And it is the one thing he has told time and time again across this country. It is the one thing that kept him together when others were crumbling and others were falling. His faith in Jesus Christ, the one who sets us truly free. But whether or not you feel imprisoned tonight or you do not feel imprisoned, it really doesn't make all that much difference to the actual case relating to you. You may be one who would say openly tonight, yes, I recognize the fact that there is sin in my life. I recognize the fact tonight that I am in bondage to sin and I'd like to be free. But you might be also among those who say, really, I have no awareness, even though perhaps according to your definition I would be living in sin, I have no awareness of a need for anything more than what I experience right now. I was talking to a friend of mine one day, a young man I've tried for some time to bring to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He's not a Christian. And in conversation with him, I have been amazed to hear him say, you know, Paul, really, I have absolutely no hunger for the things of God. I feel no need whatever for God in my life. He says, I'm a very happy man. And I believe him to a degree. But believe him or not, I am aware of the fact that he is living in perhaps what we would call invisible bondage. He still needs to be set free. Because whether you are a sinner with a hunger to be a Christian or a sinner that is satisfied with your present condition, in both cases, you are still in need of a Savior, a liberator to set you free.
Doesn't alter the fact for one moment that it's absolutely true according to the Word of God. But I do not inform you of a malady without promising a cure. That cure is Jesus Christ, the only one who has the power to set you free. But even he can't do it unless you want him to, unless you ask him to, unless you open your heart and ask him to come in and be a part of your life. I know there are many who say, I don't want him to change my life. I talked with a young person just a very few weeks ago who knows all about the things of God and who has made a decision, who has said, I do not want to walk the Jesus way. I do not want what Jesus has to offer. I like things just the way they are. Well, if we could have had his testimony some centuries ago, it's entirely possible that a man named Belshazzar would have given us the same testimony. He might have said, I don't want anybody to change my life. I like things just the way they are. But the trouble is, friend of mine tonight, things do not stay just the way they are. Now your life might be rolling along like a bowl of cherries tonight. But things do not stay just the way they are. Belshazzar found, like everyone eventually finds, things never stay the way they are. A year ago, when we were in France, walking through this nation that at one time was the nation of Napoleon, the great conqueror. What power they exerted. You'd have said to the people living at that point of time in France, do you need anything? They've said, do we need anything? We have Napoleon. What else could we possibly need? We have power. We are victorious. What do we need? But there we stood in the land of Napoleon, recognizing that this beautiful country of France is now just one of the many struggling powers of this world. Their day of greatness has faded. There we stood in England, in that country where it was once said the sun never sets on the British Empire. Rule Britannia. They rule the waves. They rule the oceans of this world. You'd have asked them in those days of their greatness, is there anything you need? I'm sure they would have said, need? What do we need when we have the most powerful fleet in the world? When we stood there in a nation racked by inflation, racked by internal strife, struggling to be just one of the many powers in this world. We stood in Berlin, a country that has known power like few nations have known power. Great nation of Germany. Germany still struggling to be just one of the powers of this world. Oh, they have had their days of greatness, but those days seem to be gone. Why? Things never stay just the way they are.